Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell. Welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm ready to find out what these people was doing.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to be talking about Gloryville. And if you listened to our first podcast, you know where the hell we're at. If you did not, stop this. Go back to Gloryville Part 1 and listen. It is so good.
It's so great. It's okay. So great.
So in the beginning, there was God. All right. So where we left off was about the kids going to school and how some of them would leave and go to university to learn skills that really required an education.
And Kelly frowned on the idea of scaring them in clown costumes.
Nope, that was Brandy.
No, you frowned upon the idea.
Oh, I frowned upon it.
You frowned upon it.
I did frown upon it.
I was all in.
I don't think scaring them would be great, but okay. So, all the kids were required to sign a contract at the age of 16 and definitely by 18. And I think after 18, if they did not sign the contract, they were ousted. So, although it was preached that some of the outsiders professed to be Christians, they weren't living the way God intended. Members were taught that outsiders were bad people who were selfish, uncaring, and manipulating, and others wanted to sway them from God or hurt them. Now, as a person being born there, this is all you hear. I'd be terrified to step a toe across the line.
Like, yeah.
Wait, where does our land end? Because I'm not...
They're going to corrupt
you know, they
me.
Were told constantly that they were going to hell.
Oh my gosh.
For just even looking sideways at somebody. They were like, oh,
damn it.
You're going to hell. However, outsiders wanting to join Gloryville are accepted. On their website, they state that the Bible scripture, Revelations chapter 22, verse 17, tells them that God wants to give everyone the opportunity to follow Christ and to be a part of the church that he is building. If you want to join their community, you have to undergo an initiation process known as submitting, which involves abandoning everything you know to the outside world, such as careers, opinions, possessions, outside contact, and free will.
Well, who needs free will?
Right? So you're welcome to join their website. If you would like to, please call 1-800-
You're a kid. This is a joke.
I'm an
do
idiot.
Do not do it. Do not do it.
Join the cult.
Yeah.
1-800, join the cult.
You know what? We have an account that if you want to just throw all your money in there, it's fine.
Yeah, we
will
do.
Be using it to buy worldly possessions, though.
Yeah, we will. Just saying.
Yeah.
Those who leave the community, whether exiled or escapees, are often shunned and denied contact with family members who are still within the walls, so to speak, of Gloryville. Because most residents in Gloryville are born into the community, any outside interference could compromise or disrupt a person's entire family. So if you're a man and you leave and your wife and kids are still in there, and these people are escaping because they are terrified and they are tortured and abused and know that things are not right in here. Like... The Gloryville girls are made to watch their parents have sex. Well, actually, the children are made to watch their parents have sex so that they know how to do it, when to do it, what to do. It's like,
gosh.
It's just a normal thing. But these kids know that it's not right. You know, just listening to some of the interviews of people that have left there, it was complete mind. It was terrible. So, then I say, if Gloryville is so amazing, why would anyone want to leave? Numerous members who chose to leave or were given the boot have written books, given interviews, been on podcasts, or testified in courts, telling the deepest, darkest secrets of Gloryville. You heard me correctly, testified in courts.
What were they in court for?
I'm going to tell you. It was not always a glorious place to live.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. So, in 1994, the founding forefather, Neville Cooper, who was selfless and gave himself to God and believed that, you know, they do no sin, was convicted of 11 charges of indecent assault and sentenced to 6 years imprisonment.
What? Did he go to prison?
Mm-hmm. Huh. But he got out because the New Zealand Court of Appeal dismissed these convictions and ordered a new trial. In 1995, he was convicted on 3 counts of sexual abuse against young members of Gloryville based on the testimonies of his own son and several young women who had fled the compound.
Oh my gosh.
Though Cooper was sentenced to 5 years imprisonment, he was released on bail after serving only 11 months.
What the hell?
You would think a tight-knit community would know what was happening, but nope. Since questioning anything was not only discouraged, but punishable, the Gloryville leaders kept all of this on the hush. Honestly, after hearing and reading some of the members who escaped, they all knew what was going on. They just weren't allowed to think it out loud.
Man, you would think if Gloryville was so great, they wouldn't have to submit to the New Zealand court.
Right. Yeah. The leaders claimed that outsiders were persecuting Gloryville and had spread lies about him. During his 11 months of imprisonment, that would be 1 month for each assault, people.
What?
Neville continued leading Gloryville and regularly sent letters and consulted with the leadership from prison.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. I'm certain his abusive behavior didn't change, but he did change his name to Hopeful Christian and died of cancer on May the 15th, 2018, at the age of 92.
Cool.
And who knows how many victims he assaulted over the 23 years of freedom after his release.
Damn.
Stories of child abuse, rape, and other forms of cruelty and subjugation have emerged. A wide-ranging government investigation into the community began in 2015, leading to a number of charges. I'm only going to touch on the charges brought against Gloryville and its leaders or members because the list is long.
I've never even heard of this place.
It's. If you want more detail, you can look up on Gloryville on Wikipedia. It's going to blow your mind how badly the legal and governmental organizations of New Zealand completely failed the women and children and some of the men. In 2015, the charity's services investigated in Gloryville. In 2017, Salem Temple, the son of the leader Howard Temple, faced charges of sexual offending against a young girl while he was in an authoritative position of a young group between 2005 and 2013.
Oh my gosh.
Temple told the court that he had a consensual extramarital affair with a complainant when she was aged 17. After an aborted trial and a hung jury in a second trial, charges were dismissed in 2021. Now, for real. Now, what kind of punishment? Like, this is such a Christian place, but you're going to claim to have an extramarital affair when actually you raped a girl?
Yeah.
You know, because women were made to be compliant and submissive and not be allowed to speak about anything or say anything or tell a man no. Could not tell a man no. In July 2020, the New Zealand police, in conjunction with Oranga Tamariki, the Ministry for Vulnerable Children, launched Operation Minneapolis, an investigation into child abuse at Gloryville, after receiving information about an alleged abuse of an 11-year-old boy. So, you know, it was not a woman.
Yeah, so even the kids aren't safe.
No, they're not safe. In September 2020, a 20-year-old man was charged with doing an indecent act on 3 separate boys.
What?
Between the ages of 12 and 16 years.
Oh, hell no.
He was discharged in September 2021 without conviction.
How are they getting
off? After pleading guilty. The offenses had occurred when he himself was a teenager, and the court felt there was a low risk of him reoffending.
He did it 3 times. There's no, it's not going to happen
Well, he
again.
Was young when it happened.
Oh, that's right. After I turned 18, like, my whole view on life changed. I knew everything.
Yes. Yeah. My whole persona changed.
Yeah, like,
even though I was born and raised to believe not to sin or not to do these things as they are in the Bible.
Yeah, I did it anyway.
I did it anyway. But you know what? I've got a whole new look on life.
Even though I pled guilty, it's fine.
Maybe
I probably won't
re-baptized.
Do it again. Go ask Neville. I'm good. I'll push you down the mountain.
Oh, God. It's the Alps you're going for.
Go
on. On February the 12th, 2021, the police laid charges of child abuse against 2 other members, an adult and a child. On August 4th, 2021, a former Gloriaville man pleaded guilty in the Greymouth District Court to 8 charges of indecently assaulting girls, 2 charges of indecently assaulting a boy, and 1 count of sexual violation.
Pled guilty to this?
Yep, probably did no time. On August the 11th, 2021, the New Zealand Police, Oranga Tamariki, and the Teaching Council confirmed that they were investigating allegations of physical and sexual abuse of students at Gloriaville School, which has 204 students, ranging from year 1 to year 11. Several staff had also been stood down for unspecified reasons.
What does that mean?
Like, they were suspended from being able to be at the school or whatever.
They kind of like stepped down from their position.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Police claimed that at least 60 people in Gloriaville had been involved in harmful sexual behavior.
60 out of 710?
Yeah.
That's a lot, people. That's a lot. That's almost a lot. 10% of your population.
Right? And 60 out of 210 kids?
Oh, yeah.
On May 26, 2022, the New Zealand Teachers Disciplinary Tribunal suspended the teaching license of the former Gloriaville Christian School principal, Faithful Pilgrim, for 3 years. Yes.
That's it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pilgrim had endorsed the teaching license of a teacher named Just Standfast, who had sexually abused a child on 2 occasions in 2012 and 16.
Oh, shit. And that's just what was reported.
Mm-hmm. The tribunal had investigated Pilgrim after receiving a complaint from Gloriaville's Leaders Trust that he had endangered children by covering up the teacher's offending. Standfast had pleaded guilty to a charge of sexual contact with the child in 2019. Did anything happen?
So does pleading guilty in New Zealand not mean the same thing as pleading guilty in America?
Maybe, because not a damn thing was done. In mid-September 2022, Gloriaville Christian School principal Rachel Steadfast claimed that a small group of people had made coordinated campaigns to close down the school by filing complaints against most of its teachers. As a result of the complaints, the affected teachers had been suspended from their teaching duties while the complaints were being investigated.
So these are Gloriaville residents.
Yes. Saying, that escaped. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many escape.
It's been a lot, and it takes a lot to recover them. I'll go over that towards the end of the podcast, but it's a lot of mental and physical. I mean, they're starting from scratch, basically, and you got these a family of 13 people.
Oh, man.
They need house. They need clothes. They need money. They need work.
Yeah, they need to school, learn.
They need education. They need to learn how to socialize.
They need to learn how to handle money. Like, you've never had to use it before.
Yes.
What is this money you speak of?
Yeah, what is money? In early November 2022, Gloriaville member and dairy worker Tim Disciple had his prison sentence for indecent assault reduced.
What?
Disciple had been sentenced in June 2022 to 2 years and 5 months in jail after being convicted of 7 charges of indecent assault against 5 victims, including minors, between the year 2000 and 2006.
Who do they have in their pocket?
I don't know. It sure sounds like they do.
Yeah. Like, every single one of these people pleading guilty, you get off, you're sentenced mm-hmm. to prison. Nope, just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Judge Jonathan Eaton reduced his sentence to 21 months with an appeal.
I feel like the people who aren't part of Gloriaville are like, oh, well, they're only hurting themselves, so it's fine to send them back. Like,
they don't want to deal with them.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're not really part of our community.
Yeah.
No, they are. They just don't follow your rules, and you don't make them follow your rules. Mm-hmm. So it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, possibly. On March 7th, 2023, a Gloriaville farm manager, John Reddy, had John Reddy.
Just Reddy.
John. I'm ready, Lord.
John Reddy.
He had pleaded guilty at the Timaru District Council to assaulting 2 11-year-old boys with a metal fence. Standard for disobeying him while performing farming chores at Gloriaville.
I'd kill someone if they touched my kid.
Judge Jim Large remanded Reddy on bail for sentencing on June 13th, 2023, and also ordered that restorative justice options be explored with one of his former victims, who had since left Gloryville.
You know, I would definitely murder him in Gloryville because I would know nothing would happen to me if I did it.
You would go to hell. These mothers did not have an opportunity to bond with their kids for a specific reason. The children were bred, like, for their own purpose.
I can't imagine. Crazy.
It's like a cattle farm. Current leader Howard Temple was charged in July and August 2023 with sexually offending against 10 girls between 1997 and 2022. The female complainants ranged from age 9
oh my gosh
to age 20 at the time of the alleged offending.
You know,
9 years old.
That podcast you did a few weeks ago about Gustavsson or whatever.
Yeah. Ah, the eunuch maker.
Maybe he should visit Gloryville.
Marius.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We have a job for you.
Yep. You want to make up for your past deeds?
That's right. I mean, Christian people did manipulate their body parts and become eunuchs so they would have no more sexual desire. You know that you're sinning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this would save you, Gloryville. This would really help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like Seymour Butts. I mean, he was the preacher over there and he castrated him and he's fine now.
Seymour Butts?
I was waiting for you to get it.
It took me a second. On November 2023, former Gloryville man Jonathan Benjamin was tried on 20 charges, including 4 counts of rape. What? During this time in Gloryville between 1986 and 2017. Damn. On December the 11th, Benjamin was convicted of 11 charges of sexually offending against 4 people during his time at Gloryville. In mid-March 2024, he was sentenced at the Greymouth District Court to 11 years and 10 months for 26 charges of sexual offending against children. That should be a life sentence.
Yeah.
Because you have taken their lives. You've taken their lives mentally.
To be a life sentence.
And physically.
With Bubba.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in there with Big Harry.
Come here, boy.
Oh.
I've got a real pretty mouth.
No, oh, my gosh. Justice Minister Andrew Little launched an investigation and inspection into Gloryville's alleged exploitation of workers. There were claims that some members had been forced to work over 20 hours a day. Girl, you think 8 hours is long?
Ooh, that makes me tired.
20 hours a day. These people were waking up at 3 a.m.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. And going to bed maybe at 8.
I'd be so sick.
Yeah.
I would have a terrible migraine.
Yeah. You wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't make it at Gloryville.
I wouldn't have made it in Gloryville.
Not one day.
They would have buried me after one day. Like, bitch, it is 12 o'clock and you were still in bed. So tired.
I'm so tired. Just leave me alone.
It's Saturday. We ain't all on Saturday. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Oh, there's no Saturday for them.
I hate that.
Their only day off is Sunday.
Yep. See, I couldn't be a part of y'all's community.
They don't do holidays.
Yep.
They don't do weekends.
Yep.
Yeah.
Y'all are not making this like
20 hours
exciting
a day
for me. I mean, I don't want to join your commune.
I've got to join. I want to go.
Well, you know what? Send me a postcard.
Bye.
Bye,
bitch.
See you later. You still going to be able to record over there?
No. There's no communication.
Oh, damn it.
I'll try to slip you a note.
Yeah. Put it on a postcard. Let's make our own little codes.
Oh, my God. It would have to be in code, too, because I'd be spending time in the shack.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the hut. They had a punishment hut.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds like holes.
All the leaders pretend not to know what's going on over there, but they totally know what's going on over there. Like, and in fact, they participate in what's going on over there.
Like the leaders of Gloryville or the leaders in
New Gloryville.
Zealand?
Oh, okay. No, Gloryville. They completely know what's going on. Are you kidding me? How can they not know what's going on? They have the control over everybody. Like,
there's only 700 people there. How do you not know what's going on?
Yeah. Did you know that Beth farted at the dinner table?
Yep. And you know what? It smelled like ketchup and onions.
Repent!
That is not what we had for lunch.
Did she have a peanut?
Where did you find that?
Her toot smells a little nutty.
Girl.
Yeah, so the men would go to this hut and they'd have to spend like 2 weeks in this isolation thing.
This hut you speak of, did it have electricity?
No.
Oh, damn.
Nothing.
I'm about to say, if there's electricity and running water and a water heater and books,
give me the
please
hut.
Please put me in the hut.
It's a mini vacay.
I will take the hut.
Can I please have the hut? I just pinched Sister Jones' ass. Can I go to the hut?
Look, I won't talk to anybody else in the hut if you just put me in there. What do I have to do to get put in this hut?
Just breathe.
Whose leg do I have to hump to get put in there? I have to take tips from little Tucker.
Whose leg do I have to hump? Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Oh, so random.
It was random. It was wrong. We're sorry.
Yeah. But if that hut really did have all those commodities in it.
Commodities. It had nothing.
I mean, if
it had lack of commodities.
It had electricity and running water and water heaters.
I don't even know. I wouldn't even need that.
They probably don't have
I would just lay down and sleep for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Sometimes a bra needs that. Like, mm-hmm.
And a book. Sleep and a book.
They don't have books. You got the Bible. Okay. So the minister, Andrew Little, launched the inspection into the exploitation of workers. And in October 2020, after like this news hub, like a news source, obtained a government report from July of 2017 stating claims of oppressive psychological practices, possible exploitation, bullying, manipulation, and coercion within the community, Little ordered a major review of Gloryville practices. But that is only after this news hub discovered this report.
So they made the government look bad.
It. Yeah, hell yeah.
Like, look what they didn't do.
Oh, of course we're going to handle this.
Now we're going to handle up on it.
We're looking into this.
I'm very angry.
Of course, WorkSafe instructed Gloryville's leadership to improve their work practices, but found no evidence to suggest that the religious community was not managing the risk of workplace fatigue.
So they probably went and interviewed a bunch of people who have been warped and trained into 20 hours a day is fine. Like, you lie to them. This is what you tell them. You do not. You love your job.
Oh, yes. I love working 20 hours a day.
I wonder how they get away with not paying wages.
Oh, where we're going to go. We're going to get there.
Okay.
So WorkSafe conducted a workplace assessment during which a team of 4 inspectors assessed Gloryville, 4 subsidiary companies, and 13 workers.
And, I mean, they're not going to tell on their boss.
Right. On August 10th, 2021, One News reported that several former Gloryville members had alleged that they had been forced to sign a document waiving their right to legal advice when joining the community.
Why would you sign that?
Because you just don't know any better. The Labor Inspectorate also investigated a so-called partnership agreement as part of its inquiry into long working conditions. On February the 21st, 2022, this is September, October, November, December, 6 months later, 3 former Gloryville residents, Hosea Courage, Daniel Pilgrim, and Levi Courage, challenged the 2017 and the 2020 Labor Inspectorate investigations, which found that members were volunteers and not entitled to pay or employment rights. So that's how they got away with it. They said that they were volunteers. And all of the people that they assessed and conducted an inspection with stated that they were volunteers.
So all 13 people that you randomly picked just happened to volunteer 100 to 120 hours a week of their lives?
Yes.
And never made a paycheck?
Never made a paycheck.
And their wives don't work, so that doesn't add up. You don't work, you just volunteer. Your wife doesn't work, yet y'all are all fed and clothed and have a home. So, I mean, how does that work?
I guess they just considered it part of their community and how everything worked.
That's crazy. There's got to be laws in New Zealand about child labor and working hours. I mean, America can't be the only one that has that, right?
Right. But for some crazy reason, it's almost like Gloryville was considered a governmental body itself. You know, like they have their own laws. They have their own way of punishment and dealing with things, and let's just let them do their thing.
It sounded like Gloria Vale didn't need a lot of money. So when outside agencies came in to look at them, mm-hmm. it was nice to give them things that they would need in the outside world and they needed money for that Gloria Vale didn't mm-hmm. to look the other way.
Well, they had machinery and they had, you know, they had businesses that they were running and all that. I mean, they had legitimate businesses. So how do you have businesses, but you have no employees?
Yeah.
That would not fly here.
There's all that income tax money.
Yeah. Well, they state that they do pay taxes on their businesses, but you're going to be floored by the amount of money that has gone through this place. Okay.
I'm betting that money got to some of those politicians' pockets.
It could have.
I mean, there's no way that this many people got off for this kind of stuff in the exact same place. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Once or twice, maybe a coincidence, but we're like on 10 or 11 people by now that just, they pled guilty and, oh, well, 10 months, 11 months, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what? We understood. You had a bad day. Go back to work. You're fine. Oh, well, you're a pre-K teacher?
Hold okay. up. I mean, we can't let it go. Go to the hut.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, as I said, these three former Gloria Vale residents, so they left Gloria Vale, and it was the Courage, the Pilgrim, and Courage, you know, and I don't know if the Courages were related.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that.
I think that they just gave themselves first and last names. So Hosea and Levi Courage were more than likely related. I don't know if they were, though.
They could have been besties.
So they disputed that they were volunteers. So they wanted their employment status to be determined whether or not they were exploited as workers. Courage alleged that Gloria Vale residents were forced to work and beaten and starved as punishment for refusing to work or not working fast enough.
Hmm.
Courage also alleged that he was beaten by his parents and authority figures.
Damn.
Yeah. And they were. This is not in my script, but in one of the testimonies, there was a girl that had gotten out and she was testifying that her younger sister had Down syndrome. I saw pictures of her actually. Oh my God. Cutest little face and just so, so adorable. And she was beaten frequently. I'm not sure if it was because she had a disability, because there was another boy that had a disability. He was deaf and he ended up, they said it was suicide, but
gosh.
I don't know. Like if you're born and raised in this environment and you're so scared, you're terrified your entire life of going to hell, why would you kill yourself?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense. So anyway, her handicapped sister was put into confinement because if you got sick, if you had the flu or if you caught a cold or if you did anything, you were going into isolation. And in the isolation room, there was no doorknob to get out of the room. You had to be let out. So the little girl with Down syndrome was in this room and for some reason they had forgotten that she was in the room. And she did not get her meal. So they have meals according to age groups, I think. And the men are the last to eat, but they have the biggest portions. So she had a man-sized portion given to her, and she choked on the piece of meat.
Oh, my gosh.
And nobody could save her. I mean, she just choked in this isolation room.
How old was she?
I think 11.
Oh, my God.
So... yeah, but her sister, she was beaten frequently by her father, and her older sister escaped, and today she still lives with, she couldn't take her, she couldn't get her, she just did, you know, by the skin of her teeth, getting out herself.
Yeah.
But she constantly feels guilty about having to leave her sister there and not being allowed to even go back and see her mom or her sister, and just beaten on the daily, just for not... picking up a stick in the yard or just for looking somebody in the eye or, you know, not apologizing for something that she thought that she had to apologize for everything.
Man.
Every thought that she had, every, you know, and they weren't just public. They were publicly humiliated in their community. So they would ask everybody to repent. They would call out these people who they knew had sinned or whatever, like, oh, I looked at Sister Joan's breast or whatever. In the mess hall. Like you had to stand up and repent in front of everyone. God. And then you were punished.
50 lashes.
Yeah. And so it was like everything was public and it was total humiliation and degradation and just.
I hate this place.
I know, right? I'm sure it's not at all what Neville Cooper thought in his mind it would be. You know, it couldn't be.
But that's exactly what he thought it would be.
Well, maybe so. I mean, he was convicted of child abuse, so. But I don't know. On May the 10th, 2022, the employment court ruled in favor, can you believe that?
No.
Of Courage, Pilgrim, and Levi Courage's legal challenge.
Was it overturned?
I don't know. Accepting that they had been employees of Gloryvale since the age of 6.
What?
The court found that the trio had been forced to perform strenuous, difficult, and sometimes dangerous work when they were legally required to attend school.
What kind of work can they get done at 6? Well, I mean, I guess these they're different.
Whatever they were told, yeah. That's what they got done. So in this response, WorkSafe confirmed that it would send inspectors to investigate the conditions in Gloryvale again.
Well, we've seen how this has worked out in the past. Right.
In addition, the Charities Commission commenced an investigation into Gloryvale's trust over allegations of unpaid child labor, beatings, and the withholding of food. If these allegations are proven, Gloryvale would lose its charitable status, costing it its donee status and tax benefits. WorkSafe inspectors issued 9 improvement notices relating to the management of hazardous substances, machines, and traffic at the community's grounds. 3 months later, they had complied with 6 of the 9 notices, with the remaining 3 to be completed by November 2022, which they did. Hmm. But that's really, they're just like going in there and saying, all right, here's a notice. Put your Comet on the top shelf and take care when driving this forklift. And I mean, shit like that.
You need a beeper when you back
up. Yeah, they weren't
up.
Really investigating the true issues, like child labor.
Yeah.
Okay. So after the court hearing determining labor exploitation, several of the outside trade companies announced that they would no longer do business with Gloryvale. Silver Fern Farms would no longer supply offal.
What is that?
Offal is like, let's look that up real quick. I think it's like a grain, internal organs.
Oh, I prefer your definition of grains.
It's a waste or byproduct of a butchered animal. I'm not sure what they used it for, but they supplied offal. Oh, I bet. Okay. The offal was probably for their pet food manufacturing.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a waste product of organ meat.
Ew.
Yep. Yeah.
That's really gross.
I mean, this impacted them clearly. Westland Dairy suspended milk collection. So they've got all these dairy farms and everything. And whoever, you know, their customer was like, we don't want to do business with you anymore. I mean, you're using child labor. So, yeah. So now what are they supposed to do with all this milk? Alliance Group, a meat processing company, said that they were reconsidering their relationship. Now they did sue Silver Ferns Farm and Westland Dairy and Alliance Group, stating that we have to have this, you know, in order to continue running our facilities or continue our business or whatever. So I think for suspended.
So did the company look at them and say, not my problem?
Nope. For a time, because they had a contract. Mm. So I think they either had to fulfill their contract or at least support them until they found other resources. So in August 2022, Radio New Zealand reported that 6 former Gloryvale women named Serenity Pilgrim, Anna Courage, Rose Stantrue, Crystal Loyal, Pearl Valor, and Virginia Courage had filed a second case with the employment court to determine whether they were employees or volunteers at Gloryvale. The employment court heard from 49 witnesses who testified about various abuses, including an alleged institutional culture of misogyny and victim blaming, sexual harassment of female members, and being forced to work for long hours with no breaks and little food. Naomi Pilgrim and Pearl Valor testified about being denied medical treatment for various health issues, including dental problems, damaged fingers, and sustaining back injuries from difficult and long working conditions.
My gosh.
Virginia Courage and Rosanna Overcomer. Now, you know, why would you choose that for your last name? Mm. I'm an overcomer.
Come on over, Rosanna. Overcoming what?
All the odds. Sorry. That was disrespectful. Virginia Courage and Rosanna Overcomer testified about community leaders shaming and sexually harassing female members of the community. A former Gloryvale leader, Zion Pilgrim, testified that the leadership had threatened to strip him of his leadership positions for raising concerns about sexual offending.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You're actually a decent person.
You're questioning it, and you're going to be stripped of your leadership titles, and you're going to be forced to work in the sugar shack. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh.
Pilgrim also testified that Gloryville had received millions in child welfare benefits from the New Zealand government, despite requiring children between the age of 6 and 18 to work long, punishing hours. Crystal Loyal testified that she had only been given 1 week of maternity leave after giving birth to her eldest child, and that young mothers were expected to work long hours and were given little time to spend with their children. Trudy Christian testified about children being subject to frequent corporal punishment. Former member John Reddy testified about his epileptic daughter suffering third-degree burns after experiencing a seizure while working in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
The defense, of course, denied all of the allegations and said that Gloryville was a harmonious community where members happily worked and gave their wages to the community. There you go. Members of the community testified that Gloryville's leaders were unaware about sexual abuse within their community, and that media coverage of Gloryville had resulted in the community being slandered and members receiving public abuse.
Well, I wonder how many of those members of the community actually know what the word slander means.
Sarah Stantrue testified that Gloryville's leadership had burnt a book that her husband had written, but that he had been readmitted to the community after apologizing. Stantrue claimed that members of Gloryville were free to leave. Her daughter, Compassion, testified that Gloryville disputed allegations of members being overworked, abuse, and denied food and care. Now, you know what, Sarah? If you don't want to get up and speak the truth, you know, according to the Bible, then just shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Joanna Courage testified in defense of her grandfather, Howard Temple. Now, this is the guy that was, you know, raping little kids.
Seems like a great guy.
Yep. Gloryville's overseeing shepherd. She disputed claims that Temple had abused or behaved inappropriately towards female members of the community. How do you know, Joanna?
So she's with him 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Yes.
Okay. As long as you're by his side at all times and can definitely tell me this. Don't you have to swear on the Bible before you get up there and testify?
Oh, yeah, you do. I bet you do.
You're going to burst into flames,
I don't know about New Zealand, and I don't know about employment court, but she also disputed the plaintiff's allegations that they had been overworked. Oh, okay. All right. So this is going to blow your socks off.
Oh, God.
Accountant Gordon Hansen testified that Gloryville had received New Zealand dollars of $4.8 million in government funds in the 2021 financial year.
Okay, so they can get government funding, but they don't have to follow government rules.
Correct.
Okay, I want to move to New Zealand.
Well, yeah. So they got $2.3 million in working for families payments. I don't know how how do you collect that? I don't know. $2 million in early child care education grants. $283,000 in Ministry of Education grants. $229,000 for midwifery services. Oh. Now, they actually used those services, but $229,000 and I ain't even getting an epidural or a day off.
And out of 710 people, how many of them actually can have kids? You said there's 30 born a year?
Yeah, and this is 1 year?
Yeah.
And you've got two midwives? Yeah, tell me how they're not rolling in it.
How much of that money are the midwives seeing?
None, zero. No, they volunteer. Nothing. Gloryville's barrister, Philip Skelton, KC, testified that the majority of Gloryville's income came from its farming businesses, which generated $19.5 million. In 2021, the $4.8 million was non-taxable income.
What?
Combined with gross earnings, they made $24.3 million in 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
And they're over there eating rice and beans. Not no making medicine. A damn dime, having to stay 14 people to one room with no bathroom, no kitchen.
Mm-mm. No time with your family.
Working 20 hours a day.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Where did all that money go?
I don't know. Now, some of it they used to purchase other businesses or land or whatever,
You're making that much every year,
Yeah. In December 2022, Gloryville confirmed that it would no longer hire the services of defense lawyer Philip Skelton since it was unable to sustain the cost of a legal team. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Look, 24 million is not enough.
So instead, of course, the shepherds, Samuel Valor.
Those shepherds and temples and valors are temples, getting on my nerves.
Steadfast, hopeful, faithful. Yeah. They were going to conduct their own defense with the assistance of Peter Righteous.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see what this defense was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So other Gloryville residents gave testimony disputing the earlier testimonies about harsh and abusive working conditions. And Steadfast stated that she was never an employee and never intended to be one. She testified that people were free to leave Gloryville without being ostracized, as the Liebers suggested. Steadfast also testified that Gloryville supported Liebers by providing funds, transportation, and denied that they restricted contact between members and Liebers. Okay, so when they left, they were given a beat-up car and $200.
Really?
Yes. Like, unless they snuck out and left.
Like,
and,
see you, bitch. Like,
fled, left. Yeah. Another Gloryville resident, Temperance Hopeful, argued that introducing employment laws and wages would destroy Gloryville's way of life, and that this was an attack on the commune's faith, disputing the plaintiff's allegation of slave labor, describing it as a labor of love to those who love to serve Christ by serving one another.
Oh my gosh.
Finally, we have a judge, Judge Christina Inglis, along with lawyer.
Is this a woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
She is like, I'm going to go to the site to gain a better understanding of this reclusive community and the evidence being presented at the court. So she was granted access to Gloryville, and they had to give her a tour. So Purity Valor and her husband Samuel Valor, who was a shepherd in the community, gave her the tour. On July 13th, employment court judge, Judge Inglis, ruled that the six plaintiffs, Courage, Valor, Pilgrim, Stantrue, Courage, and Loyal, were employees rather than volunteers at Gloryville.
Whoa, how did this happen? About damn time.
Finally. In her judgment, Inglis stated that girls and women in the community were raised from young to work in deliberately gendered roles, including cooking, cleaning, and washing clothes, and that the plaintiffs were born into and kept in servitude, which is illegal under New Zealand law.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought that from all the other judges that just let it go. No,
what? Also, she found that dissenters were threatened or punished with exclusion from the community. While the decision was hailed as a long-fought victory by the plaintiffs, including Courage, Gloryville's senior leadership confirmed that they would appeal court's decision. You know,
I expected nothing less. For how long can you keep ignoring the problem?
Oh, maybe it'll just apparently go away. A long time, because this all started in 1991. So, man, it's going on for a minute.
What, 30 years?
Yeah.
Damn.
So ERO released its review in Gloryville school enrolling 139 students. The report found that Gloryville did not meet many of the criteria for registering as a private school and identified several problems, including the school not providing education beyond year 10, which is the age of what, 15, right?
Yeah.
In its findings, the ERO reported on the school that it was not assured students were successfully engaged in meaningful learning programs or pathways and progressing or achieving well, or that their health and safety while assessing education was sufficiently well monitored. The report said 26 students, almost 20% of the roll, were in what was called an AWINA class.
What is this?
Which meant they did not attend school, but instead were taught at home by their mothers.
Oh, okay. That are working 20 hours a day.
Right. It was said that these children were identified by the school and the parents as not meeting certain criteria for inclusion in the school setting and required a different approach because of a range of issues, including behavior. The class was seen as a transition class, but in 6 months, only 5 students had gone back to the classroom. The report also raised concerns about the training of teachers. It said while all the teachers were registered, they did not have teachers with suitable training for the age range and levels of students. Only 2 of the 10 teachers had school teaching qualifications and relevant experience. That's a lot.
Yeah.
8 out of the 10 teachers had early childhood education qualifications. The report called for follow-up steps, including an assessment by the Ministry of Education that all current school managers were fit and proper persons. And what that means, I don't know. That the Awina classes be stopped.
Awina.
Awina. You Awina. You gotta be schooled by your mama because you Awina.
Don't call me that.
You're now ostracized. Boo. That the school build learning conditions and teaching capability, and with urgency build staff capability to monitor student well-being and manage challenging behavior. So, like, if a kid is bad, you don't just, oh, you got to leave.
You're out. Sorry.
Well, they're not used to people.
I can't deal with this shit. Being,
how do he they talked. Have bad kids there? I don't even understand that. Like, what would they consider to be a bad kid?
I don't like that look on your face.
Yeah. That's just my thighs. I just have an RIP face. Oh, anyway, in December 2023, Barrister Brian Henry sent a letter to Prime Minister Christopher Luxon calling for Gloryville to be shut down. He also criticized the joint agency response for prioritizing reforming Gloryville over protecting victims of abuse.
High five, Christopher Luxon.
Go well.
Yes.
That's Brian Henry.
Oh, Brian Henry?
Yeah, Barrister Brian Henry sent the letter.
Oh, okay.
Saying, hey.
Well, good job, Brian Henry.
Mm-hmm. Henry also accused previous governments and agencies of enabling of what he described as a sex cult cloaked in Christianity.
Huh, I'm glad that me and Kelly aren't the only two thinking
exactly
this.
Exactly what it was. Exactly.
Sex cult.
Not only was one of these cult communes enough, but
they're not gonna tell me they had more than one.
Yeah, they started a couple of others.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Hopeful Christian and other Gloryville leaders purchased land in the Indian state of Tamil Nadu. And this was in 2015. And they settled a community there with several young Gloryville women from New Zealand and local Indian Christian converts. So they forced them to marry and to be in this cult Christian community. According to the website India Facts, Gloryville worked with the charity Smile Help Charity Trust in Andhra Pradesh to purchase land for their commune in Tamil Nadu's Charanabobaladevi.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Charanmadevi.
Sounds good to me.
Charanmadevi.
Charanmadevi.
Charanmadevi region in the Tirunelveli district. Between 2011 and 2012, Gloryville also registered a charity called the Christian Community Church to channel funds from New Zealand to their Indian commune. Oh, and in 2021, the Hindu Post alleged that 8 Indian children residing at the commune had forcibly been converted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And there were allegations of rape. And, you know, lots of that going on.
Same stuff that was happening in New Zealand.
Same damn thing.
Ain't nobody learned a lesson.
Yeah.
I guess you don't learn a lesson if you're not punished for it.
That's true. In March 2023, Samuel Valor confirmed that the community was building another commune on the edge of Lake Brunner on the west coast of the South Island of New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. And Gloryville purchased the site for $3 million New Zealand dollars using funds from its charitable trust and 3 businesses.
Damn.
Yeah. So 2022, Gloryville's leadership issued a public apology for sexual abuse, child abuse, and labor exploitation that had occurred within the community. They claimed that so much had changed at Gloryville following the resignation of their previous leader and founder in 2018. I completely disagree.
Yeah.
The majority of this happened after 2018.
Yeah.
So, no.
Not okay.
No.
Your public apology is rejected.
Yeah. The leaders agreed to allow young people to make decisions on whether to continue living at Gloryville once they had matured. Of course they did. They did that then.
Yeah.
It was like, you either sign this agreement.
Or you get the fuck out.
Or you get the fuck out. Got to go.
There ain't no in between.
To address future sexual offending, the leadership established a child protection leads team that answered directly to Oranga Tamariki.
So your population of 710 people need their own team to prevent child abuse and child sexual stuff.
Yes. Okay. Well, you report to the team and the team reports to Tamariki. But I'm betting that the reports are all good.
Yep. And I'm betting that volunteer team is A-okay with everything going on.
Mm-hmm. They also said that they restructured their business operations to allow parents to spend more time with their children after 3 p.m.
Oh, so they just start working at like 2 a.m., right?
Exactly. They don't have a start time. Very good. You caught that. Uh-huh.
They're going to get off earlier. They may start earlier, but they're off really early.
Really early. Yes. But they start at 8 p.m.
You've got 5 hours. That's enough.
Yeah. To eat, sleep, and spend time with your children. All 13 of them.
Enjoy.
Make sure you give them personal time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two senior Gloryvale leaders, Fervent, Steadfast, and Faithful program, resigned from their positions as senior community leaders following the public apology.
I can't deal with these names.
Steadfast had previously served as Gloryvale's financial controller and had been accused of mishandling employment issues in the community. Of course. So you take the one bad, you blame it all on one person. Mm-hmm. Like that person takes the hit for the team. And then we got rid of him. So it's okay. It's
Here's
fine.
Your $2 million.
Everything
Please
is
leave.
Fine now. Yeah. Liz Gregory founded the Gloryvale Leaders Trust, which has been set up to help those who have chosen to leave Gloryvale. Liz and the trust also work closely with people who are offering love and support to leavers and other religions. About 7 years ago, a young ex-Gloryvale family visited her church one Sunday, and other church members realized that this family needed love and support, took them under their wing. And from then, it just escalated with other church members, other leavers, and supporters coming on board. Altogether, nearly 150 people have left Gloryvale over the past 7 years, and over half have permanently established themselves in the South Canterbury region. This has been a daunting task because most of those who left come out with little more than the clothes on their backs, possibly some bedding and no money.
No education, really.
No education. So they help them settle into the outside world. And they collect donations, and it's just really within their church community. So they say the cost of settling one family is upwards of 50,000 New Zealand dollars. A lot of furniture, clothing, and toys have been kindly donated by the local community and churches, but there's still a shortfall of approximately 5,000 to 10,000 per family.
Well, I mean, that $24 million that they're giving to Gloryvale, why can't they give some of that to the people that are helping people leave Gloryvale? Oh,
because once you're out, you're out. Like,
why would we help you?
You're no longer a member. Why would we help you leave?
But the government.
Yeah, we've taught you nothing. We've worked you till you can't work anymore. And bye. Don't let the door hit you in your ass.
Mm-hmm.
They need rent payments, insurance, vehicles, because they've got 13 people, 14 Ooh. People,
school buses,
fuel, uniforms, you know, like school uniforms, school supplies, food for their cupboards, personal items.
That's a lot. That's
they do not know how to socialize. So whenever they get, you know, because they're so scared of outsiders that they don't know how to, they don't even know how to say thank you or you're welcome or just a general greetings, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know anything.
Damn.
Other than this is what you do and this is how you act. And
that would
this
be
is
so hard.
Yeah. Looking people in the eye or just this is money and this is how it works. And this is, you have to start basically from square one. And you've only worn this dress your entire life. Oh, jeans? I can wear jeans?
What do you mean I have to pay for this?
Yeah. Like, well, I.
What is money?
Cut my hair? What?
I can wear a hat.
You have smell good soap?
How does that work? I wear blue jeans?
Yeah. So it can be extremely overwhelming. And there's a lot of depression too, because several of them have left their families behind and this is all they grew up knowing. Can you imagine?
Yeah. That
walking out of your house today and never seeing your family again.
No.
And that's how they've got to be. And scared that, am I making a mistake? All my life I've been taught that this is the right way. And now I am choosing a different path. How do I know that I'm going to be safe? How do I know that I'm not going to hell?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine.
Which rules do I actually have to follow? What's legit and what's not?
Yeah. Like they don't know how to pay an electric bill. They don't know how to have a bank account. They don't know.
Man, that's scary. That'd be like
a
10-year-old leaving home. Like, okay, here you go. Right. Be adult now.
Yeah. And then, you know, also they're very apologetic. Like if they bump into you, they're very, you know, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, so this has been a great trust and community to set up for the Gloryville Leavers. And it's called the Gloryville Leavers Support Trust. And they actually have a page on Facebook.
Oh, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yep. And they regularly speak to local community groups to help raise awareness and funds. So if you go check them out and you feel like donating, it's a very good cause. Mostly the women, sounds like some of the boys really have suffered and endured a lot of mental and physical strife. And
seems like they had really hard lives.
Yeah.
Even though they were supposed to be living for
God.
So
sad.
Yeah. Like,
so sad. And it's got to be such a mind fuck because you're in this beautiful place at the foot of the Alps and you've got crystal blue lakes around you and lush green and supposedly this loving environment, but it's not. Like you're a slave in there and you're just bound to whatever you're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And having to watch your parents have sex and having to be, you know, at 6 years old being raped and being told that it's okay because that's how it's supposed to be because the man said.
I couldn't imagine.
No. And as a mother, you can't do anything about it.
I guess the mothers that were born and raised there don't know any different anyway. I wonder, like, any of them are inbred.
I don't know. One of the interviews was, you don't like a boy. Because it is never your choice. The leaders pick your husband.
Damn.
And the boy talks to your father. If the father agrees, he comes knocking at your door, you're getting married. Like they pick and choose who, maybe that's to avoid inbreeding.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because I don't think they have birth certificates. I don't think they...
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't even know their family tree.
Yeah. Half of them that leave probably don't even have an outside identity. They don't even have an identity. Like, that's what it... Ugh. Anyway, I thought this was pretty interesting. So. Yeah.
That is really interesting.
I don't know. This one was a lot of legal stuff. And I hate all the legal crap.
Yeah.
But it's just to show you that there was so much of it going on.
And nothing was done.
Year after year after year, and no one ever listened. No one ever did anything. And I don't want to accuse anybody of having a deep pocket, but.
Sounds like it.
Sure does sound like it. Or that they just didn't want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that is it for Gloryville. And we hope you enjoyed this podcast. And we hope you come back next week for another crazy bitch who is. Unwell.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Gloryville. Bye-bye.
That's one place you don't want to visit.
Hope you close down.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly unwell.